You're listening to The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. This podcast is designed to give you reflective time to engage yourself around sensitive life topics for the purpose of offering manageable perspectives for your daily journey.
Hey, hey, hey! It's The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I am Vessel.
And I'm Camille Veronica.
And it is our wonderful Tuesday. Yes, this is our Tuesday segment, a segment that you should actually be able to sit down and have conversation with your family and friends and just have a fun time. You know, if you're thinking about having a game day and you want to listen at something that really jars the brain, probably gets you into some thinking, this is the time. So how are you doing?
I am exceedingly well. Thank you for asking. And I ask the same of you, my dear.
I am exceptionally well in the sense that I am intentionally doing things to make sure that I stay well. So, so that's what makes it so exceptional because I'm adding my own intentionality behind what I'm doing. Yeah, and I'm also getting ready for early elections. Early elections started here on Monday and in Miami, or probably the state of Florida, started Monday. And so I have been intentional about putting out information that can help those who are interested in doing early voting, which I totally am in agreement with. I partnered with a group of individuals and established kind of my own arm of raise the votes, hashtag raise the votes. And my focus of my part of the commitment to this larger movement was to engage our houseless or homeless population. I call them houseless because homeless just doesn't really fit all of their conditions, but they're probably not in a house. They're not in a physical house, but they are most definitely a viable voting vote, you know, for any candidate. And so I think that a lot of times we don't look at our houseless, homeless community for that support that they could also provide. And their voices need to be heard. I think that we are selfish in thinking that because you have a 9-to-5, because you have a home, because you have a job, your voice does not need, your voice is the only voice that matters, right? And we know that's not the case. And unfortunately, that has been the ignorance of a lot of, I believe, just a lot of citizens of this society, you know, to overlook. We drive by them and we don't look at them as equals. And in fact, they are equals. So my goal was to really get out there. And for the last 3 months, I think 3 months has really been the main, and I'll go out there every so often and see those that are in transit, you know. So if I see somebody new, I'll ask them, you know, have you registered to vote? At the last count, just before a close of our registration for voting, I was up to 83 persons that I was able to get registered to vote. That's also a mix. Not all of them were the houseless, homeless population. Some of them were new. So last year, my focus was on high school, 16 to 18 year olds, and really engaging high school kids and getting registered to vote, which you can register at 16, which a lot of people don't talk about. And then you're automatically registered at 16. And then that way, when you turn 18, you're getting a voter registration card. So, which I find it very awkward living in a world where we have social studies, why we are not implementing that as an assignment. But I get it too, because if you can keep everyone ignorant, if you can keep everyone unaware of what their benefits are, then you can easily make moves that disenfranchise them even further. Somebody's going to catch that on the way into the bank.
Right.
Or out of the bank and still don't have the right money. I'm up to that number. I had some really, really great success stories that I will share with our family. Many of our houseless, homeless individuals, they suffer from a lot of co-illnesses, a lot. And some of them, in fact, had served time, incarcerated time here in Miami-Dade, and had made attempts and efforts to get registered to vote, to really, you know, have their rights restored. And as you know, Amendment 4, which was a big thing here in Florida, there was a lot of kickback. And so then the judges agreed that with those powers that be, that in order for them to register to vote, in order to get their rights restored, they had to pay all of their fines. Mm. Well, we already know that's going to be a problem because many of them are still struggling to find jobs. Mm-hmm. You're not incentivizing enough jobs to take on individuals who have been incarcerated, who may have a felony. They've done their time, they've served their time, and they should be restored, right?
Right.
And so you give them these massive fines that they cannot afford, even with them having a minimum wage job, living and still trying to pay that. So I was able to identify just in the nick of time for them to register at least three individuals who had a situation like that. Special shout out to Florida Justice Center. Jonathan, I had heard about this guy and his center through the young lady who was running for state attorney. I'm always paying attention, and she kind of tossed it out there. And so when I ran into this young man who was houseless and needed this situation, you know, I gave him a card. I said, listen, I'm going to be doing some more rounds, but please call me in the next 2 hours, right? Now, I do that. Not always do people call. And I heard, and I'll see them again. I'll say, hey, you didn't call me. You gonna call me? You know, and I leave it up to them. This guy called me. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, I just, you know, you this guy, you know, he was talking as if I wasn't the person who answered the phone. And when he did it, I was very proud. You know, I told him, I'm very proud of you for taking your life back in your hands like this. He was like, yeah, this was a concern. I think, you know, you were a godsend because I'd been struggling for the last 2 months trying to get this happen. And they said I had a fine. And I said, well, listen, let me call someone who I know is currently paying off fines for people, but there are some requirements. I'm not quite sure of all the requirements at the moment, but let me call and find out. Called Florida Justice Center, spoke to their ED, Jonathan, and we were able to get his fine within less than two hours. This man was going to register to vote. His fines were paid off. In about the next 8 hours, I was receiving 5 more calls from people that this man had told about what had happened. Mm-hmm. And they were calling me trying to see if I could do the same thing for them. I was like, wow, like literally off one guy, and I'm still getting calls, but that was in 5. And we were rushing to try to get their situations resolved in enough time to register to vote in this election. But for sure, we've been trying. All cases are different. That gentleman just so happens to have had a case that was easily enough to pay them. And by the way, that was almost $700 worth of fines that he had that were completely wiped away. His life, you know, the burden was lifted off of his life. Mm-hmm. during that moment, enough for him to now go off and tell the story to other people. And most of them are people who I guess I would say maybe have heard about some services, but have had to get the runaround so many times in order to get what they need to get done. And I think the bureaucracy that many of our systems have put into place are hindrance mm-hmm. to people getting the job done. Now, granted, I get it. If you want it done, you got to fight to get through it. I get that. Yes. And I will admit there's sometimes when I call for services and they say to hold, and I've been on hold for over 30 minutes, I hang up and I call back when my patience is enough to deal with a long wait, mm-hmm. you know, or I'll pick the option if they have it. We'll call you back when an operator is available. And sometimes that's nothing but 2 hours. That's like 2 hours later. So imagine if I was actually holding a phone for 2 hours waiting on somebody to call me right. or waiting on, you know. So that is what, you know, raised the votes we've been doing, you know, in order to really get ready for November. November 3rd is the date. Whether you want it to happen or not, November 3rd is a date that we will hopefully see change in the regime, whether that be the same individual with a different agenda, change is going to happen, or that's a new individual with a new agenda. So that is where my energy and excitement, and that is actually where this podcast episode is leaning to just help individuals know that not all of what we need is going to happen. We need to get out there and make it happen. And if you have family members that have never voted, did you hear that news where LeBron James just recently announced? Personally, I don't know why. I think certain things I would have probably kept to myself, but he must have had a method to his madness with sharing this is the first time that he voted. Mm-hmm. That's very disheartening because we've had very key voting concerns. Hillary being one. So to know that you didn't vote into that one, to know you didn't vote for Obama, to know, you know, and I think people are downplaying and celebrating. Oh, he voted. Yay. Let's pause and find out why he did not vote all of those other times and how many other athletes or role models that have been labeled role models, how many of them are not doing the same thing? And let's call it to the forefront to find out if there's anything we can do to help facilitate why that's not happening. And I believe you can do that in your very own family. I have nieces and nephews or cousins that are like nieces and nephews that have said, you know, I'm not voting. And I'm working with them on why they should vote. You know, why is important to vote? Some people are not moved by the fact that people died for the right to vote. That doesn't move people. You know, you would think it might move you. Oh, our ancestors died for us to have the right to vote. And that might move you. But that is not moving certain generations. There needs to be more, you know. In their mind, their exact words were, my vote doesn't count because every time I hear about somebody voting, the other party wins, right? And I get it. You keep doing something and nothing happens to change the ebbs of the game, then it does cause some discouragement. I've chosen to use my right to vote as a means of paying homage to those who didn't have that right. I can't tell you that I don't want things to change. I do. But my weight of my vote is not placed on that. The weight of my vote has actually been placed on the fact that I had ancestors that strived for this opportunity, that died for this opportunity. So I live in that zone. And because of that, this is like me opening up a can of and a bottle of wine or a can of beer or a drink, and I'm paying, you know, lament. I'm lamenting upon that moment. You know, I am, you know, serving homage to that moment. So that is what causes me to vote. And I think we should have those conversations within these next few days with family members and neighbors and friends. And you might discover some things about them. Yeah. How are you engaging your voting rights?
Well, I have recently signed up to get others involved through the NAACP's efforts to get the vote out. They are mm-hmm. taking a nonpartisan stand. They just want you to vote. or make sure that you are voting, I should say. So I have a list of people that I'm to contact to encourage them to get out and vote. And I think it's important that we all take some effort, whether it be the conversation in the home or, you know, among our Zoom mates or whoever we're talking to, to like whether you are registering people or reminding people that it's the early vote or making sure the absentee ballots or you're working at the polls, whatever it is, I think everyone has an opportunity to engage one another, to check in, to make sure we're all doing our part. I am not surprised by a LeBron James or a Snoop Dogg or anybody else that has been in the public light and that hasn't voted, whether it be for religious reasons or be for a lack of understanding or a lack of care, whatever it is. I'm not surprised by it. I do believe that asking the question why is important. And but it, again, that starts at home, asking, you know, why. And then also making sure that you're educated on what's at stake and how the process works. I am going through the right of women, the women's right to vote with my daughter and her schooling. And in that, she's discovering some things she didn't know. And we are, that conversation then opens up to, okay, this is one group of people. And how is that working for us right now? You know, what does that mean for us now? And so part of what we have to constantly battle is education, and whether or not you have one side of the story or the whole side of the story, you know, we can celebrate the 100th anniversary of the women's right to vote, but we also have to understand that some of those key players didn't want Black folks voting, even though Black men had a right to vote, but certain Black men had a right to vote. So even then, there were women who were like, well, wait a minute, before these Negroes get up in here, we best to have a vote before they even are counted. You know, we have to understand that history around it. And you're right. Some people aren't moved because they're not connected to how this impacts them now. And that's part of our, that's, I think, our fault for not telling the stories and not reminding people of what it took to get to this place, and that it wasn't that long ago that we got this right to vote. You know, we did the test that you had to take, the literacy test, whether or not whether or not you could pass this test to vote or not. And I think it's really interesting. That first question I thought about when you said about our population that is without homes, you know, how do they register to vote if they don't have a physical address? Like, that to me was the first thing. I was like, wait a minute, hold up. How? Because the thing they ask is where you live, so they know where you get to vote. You know, those are kind of things that, like, immediately I was like, oh, hold up, I need to go figure that out. I need to go ask a question.
Well, and one of the answers to that question is many of them, the same way they receive their Social Security or their any benefits, they have a point of address, a point of contact of address, right? They don't allow you to use a P.O. box, but they have a point of address. And so that is the key, and you're absolutely right. In more than two of those occasions, I actually had to point them to a family member where they could actually be able to receive that voter's registration card. In order to engage, you know, engage that completion. So you're right. Yeah. And those are the, and I think those are the hiccups that people don't want to get into.
And we have to like, even down to understanding voter suppression. I mean, I'm telling you, like, this is a prime time. You talk about teachable moments. This is a prime time, not only for yourself, but to understand how the system isn't always in your favor. And so when we looked at when my daughter and I looked at the Declaration of Independence and who was writing it and who signed off on it, what was going on with it, And we realized these jokers was excluding a lot of people. Jews weren't up in that joint. You know, Catholics weren't up. It was Protestant, and it was only a certain group of Protestants. So, you know, the idea that we start out from a place where everybody wasn't included, you know, and now you have a chance to be included. And yes, the system is not perfect, but it's available. Mm-mm. So how do we talk about this? How do we understand that
it's more available?
How do we understand that despite the fact that it is more available, there are certain things put in place to deter you? This concept that voting by mail is fraudulent when your president is currently has been voting by mail all along is ridiculous. You know, the idea that these things have been in place and they've been working. And now all of a sudden, oh, it's evil. Oh, this is going to be the worst election. It won't be fair. Well, if you repeat a message enough times, folks are bound to believe it. So we have to keep, you know, ourselves guarded and keep ourselves on top of it and not just assume that even today, I even checked to make sure I was still registered. I know I'm registered, but I even checked to make sure because I didn't want nobody saying, hold up, because right now, I keep getting stuff for being registered in Michigan. And I'm like, I ain't lived here since I don't know when. How y'all still sending me stuff? That's okay. Every email I get talking about we want to get the vote out, I send one. I mean, or every text message I get, I send one back saying, hey, thanks for the work you're doing. I'm no longer registered here, but I am on top of my case. Because I want them to know, look, I see the effort you're making. And I'm telling you, I done got them from everybody's organization thinking that I'm still, you know, registered in Michigan. I'm not. So today I went online to make sure I'm still registered in the state of Florida. Because I did not want any hiccups at all in the If you're doing that, y'all, I remember my parents taking me to go vote. Get online and show your children how to register to vote, even if they're not, if you're not registering right now because you're already done. I mean, like, there's so many teachable moments, like I said, not just for ourselves, but for our children to see as well. If you have a teen and you're getting them ready to vote, get them up on the know who's running, know what the platforms
are.
So that it's not just a matter of I just any meeny miny mo. I mean, that's one way to vote. It's not the most effective, but
oh man, I've heard. Listen, I was laughing with one person on the phone, and they were serious. They were so alive serious. They said, "I vote. I'm going to vote for this person because I like the way their face looks. Their face. Yeah. I want to vote." I said, you know, I don't blame you because I've heard people say that people have vote because their last name sounds Spanish, right? Their last name sounds black. This sounds like a black person. I'm going to vote for this person because they're the black person. And again, I am one of those people that keeps driving home. Color does not equate to content or character. Please, please, please don't get wrapped up in because somebody is black, because somebody is Hispanic, because somebody is white, that they're going to carry the needs and your agenda to the White House or to the state. That is not going to be the case. And you must know what their platform has been up until the time they decided to run for this election. Were they actively engaged in of the First Amendment, or were they actively engaged in this? You know a tree by the fruit that it bears. That's you can't get away from that. And I don't expect ever to walk up on a orange tree and see lemons. In as much as they can look similar in size because of what we put, you will never get that to happen. Right. You get a blend, but you won't get it. You're not going to get that. And so that is what we have to do. You mentioned about exampling. Right. And there used to be this big campaign around why parents should read, because it influenced their kids to read. Right. That was the whole thing. And there was a big campaign around that in the '80s. Why parents, you know, need to spend time and read. And the newspaper was a big thing, right? The newspaper, you would see people read newspaper, and then what the kids would do, ask for the cartoons. Well, at least in my space, we would ask for what the cartoon portion of the newspaper, and we'd read that or we'd read other stuff, right? That's what we need in this voting process. How many parents, how many cousins or how many uncles are actually taking their kids to work the polls. I remember, and not the other polls, right?
Because it is Miami, and we do both well.
Because it is Miami, and we do, know those poll workers have already announced they are going to the polls. You know, from poll to poll, that's what they call it. You have to go. You know, I used to work the polls. I used to go and pour coffee. You know, for the poll workers, and those things that helped. Freeman Bosley Jr. That was my first campaign that I ever remember working, and it was a long time, but I enjoyed the feeling of being out there with my mom and walking those streets and encouraging people. I had little idea about who this man was, but the excitement and the pep rally that was behind his campaign was enough for me to feel like I had done something cool. I had done something cool with my time. I didn't get paid. Now, I did get donuts and coffee, you know, black coffee and all kind of treats and stuff. And all the little cute little boy. I got a lot of that. But that's what was exciting about it. And so I believe that also groomed me to be more civically engaged in these spaces and times now. Yeah. I believe we have much work to be done. And I think that it starts with a good old party. If you don't do anything else, you're getting ready for Halloween. You're going to have all these trick-or-treaters coming to your door. Actually, I think Halloween's been suspended because of COVID. I don't know. Somebody's going to find a way to trick and treat. If that is the case, I'm encouraging you to pass out voters registration information. This is vital, vital, vital. Have a party for everybody who votes. If you bring your voter's registration card or your voter's sticker, you're going to come out and have breakfast with us or come out and have, you know, a barbecue. There's so many things you can do. If you're a person that cannot vote because your state does not include right restorations, there are other ways you can do it. You can be a poll watcher. You can, now they have it where you can be on the internet, right? You can be on the web and you can volunteer to watch and monitor what's going on and then report that to your different activist groups. So there's no excuse why you should not be civically engaged during this time. And we've taken the time to give you at least a beginning part of that conversation. This has been the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. And I'm Vessel. And we're super delighted that you decided to spend some time with us this Tuesday. Have a great week and see you on Friday. Woo-hoo!
You've been listening to The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow with Vessel and Camille Veronica. We appreciate you listening and hope you'll follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You'll find us at The V-Spot Radio. If you want to send us an email, email us at vspotradio@gmail.com. We love to hear from you and we love your feedback. Please let us know of topics that you're interested in hearing from us. Thank you.